prepare for a true revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth will set you free.
Good morning. We are Truth Revolution, where faith and reason can coexist together.
That's
I'm
right.
Dave, and with me is Pastor Jeff of Revolution Church.
I'm glad you're listening today to Truth Revolution. If you have a challenge or a question about the faith of Christianity, about the Bible, about God's existence, we'd love to hear it.
Definitely.
We are all about the question.
Well, you know, and some people may think, well, it's because we like to argue. That's not the case.
I kind of do like to argue, but that's not why we like the questions.
Right. The point is that really, if somebody comes to us with a question, yeah, we will argue our point, but the whole ultimate goal of that is to actually enlighten somebody, or maybe they can enlighten us. Just never know what's going
to
happen.
That's right. In fact, today we're answering four questions. One has to do with infant baptisms. Do they count?
Try to get the four, right?
Another one has to do with why didn't God send Jesus from the beginning? Instead of misleading people for a long time.
Why didn't he do that?
And then another one has to do with, well, did God fail? Because God wants to save people, but not everyone's going to be saved. Did God mess up?
Yeah.
And then another listener question. Someone wanted to follow up with from our show about natural evil. Actually, this listener had listened to some of our truth shots about tornadoes.
Right.
And why those happen. And he wondered if we're not negating the concept of free will. And if we got a problem there. So,
well, I think we fully discussed that, but we can go into it.
Well, he brought up a good point. And we're going to get there today. So if any of those things interest you, you continue to listen. If they don't interest you, continue to listen anyway, because
we might actually say something that interests
you. Might say something that's relevant to the faith. And we don't have all the answers, but we believe there are answers.
Right.
To questions about God and Jesus and the faith.
And we're not above trying to say, hey, we'll go search that out for you and come back and have an answer for you.
In fact, that's what we do every single week. When we get these questions, we search them out, we research it, we do the studies, and we make sure we have quality questions here. So let's just start right off the beginning. The first question comes in from a listener.
Yes, sent in from a listener. Do baptisms count if they are given to you as a baby? For example, Catholics baptize their babies.
And that is a great question.
That is a great question.
First, I'd like to intro. And by the way, I don't want to make anybody mad about this.
Right.
We come from a tradition called known as Anabaptism.
Mm-hmm.
We do not do infant baptism at our church. Now, I'm going to teach you here how infant baptism came to be.
Yeah, it's probably a good thing, because if anybody's ever watched a baptism here, they know that Pastor Jeff gets into his baptism.
I body slam the... No, I don't. I don't body slam anybody.
But he has held people underwater for several minutes before.
Well, some people are really, really sinful. And they... I'm just kidding.
Oh, yeah.
That is... Oh, man. That's... We're not going to go there.
Baptism time around here is a fun time, because it's a time of renewal and a time of dedication. So
that's right. And so we don't do infant baptism. I'm going to explain where infant baptism came from, from our point of view. But I don't want you to get the wrong impression. I think infant baptism can be used. I'm going to explain how. But it came about not because people began to say, you know, I think baptizing my child is a way to dedicate him to the Lord. That's not really how it came about in the widespread arena of the world. When Christianity began to spread and Constantine, the emperor, took over and instituted Christianity as the official religion of the Roman Empire, things began to change. No longer were Christians on the run. No longer were they being killed for their faith. No longer were they saying, you know what, this is a dangerous thing to be a Christian, and you have to be absolutely certain you want to be a Christian. Now it was, hey, my whole town's Christian. You have to be Christian. You're going to jail.
Right.
And what happened is people started instituting infant baptism as a way primarily to keep track of the census. They wanted to know who was being born, who they could tax, who their citizens were, and they couldn't always do this easily back in the day. I mean, it's not even easy now, but 2,000 years ago or 1,500 years ago, it was very difficult.
Right.
And so they actually started this innuendo that your child will go to hell if he is not baptized.
Right. And it also kind of opens up another can of worms that some people have a big problem with is whenever Christianity became the official religion, well, then people started using it for their own power and stuff like that.
Right. How do you want to get into that today?
Right, yeah.
Don't get me started. But
that'll take several shows to cover.
When the government and religion get together, very rarely do good things happen. But anyway, people began to use infant baptism as a way to count census, to count citizens in their census and to collect taxes. And they started innuendoing that your child would go to hell if he wasn't baptized as an infant. And so this is how the practice really took hold strongly.
And that's how they got people to actually do it.
Right. And now what happened was in the 1500s, when the Protestant Reformation happened and people broke away from the Catholic Church, our tradition, we were part of the Anabaptists. Anabaptists is known as, Anna is the word that means re-baptizers. It's okay. Not anti-Baptist. We're not going to fight with the First Southern Baptist here in town.
Yeah, it's not anti-Baptist. It's Anabaptist.
Right. Re-baptizers, because these people started baptizing themselves as adults,
right,
which back then was... You couldn't do that.
Right.
You were going against your country. It was treason, because you had been baptized as a citizen once into one church, their government church, and to baptize yourself into a different church, into a different type of
treason.
It was treason. Yeah. And so people were actually being killed because they were being baptized as adults.
Yikes.
What they decided, though, was, look, nowhere in the Bible does it teach infant baptism.
Right.
It says, choose who you're going to serve. When you make the decision to follow Jesus, then you get baptized as an adult. Now, there's some places that say the whole household got baptized, but we don't know there were infants in the household.
Right.
And even if there were infants in the household, you could say the whole household without necessarily meaning the infants too and the dog and the cat.
Right. It's all about semantics.
Right. So infant baptism now is compared to believer's baptism. We baptize people when they choose to believe in Jesus as a symbol they've made the decision.
Right.
Infant baptism now can be comparable to the Old Testament practice of circumcision. That's what most churches do.
Right.
They don't say it's for citizenship, obviously. They say we are welcoming this child into our Christian community, and so we're baptizing him as part of that process. Now, that to me is a beautiful picture.
It is.
And I would still suggest people need to be baptized as adults in recognition that they choose to follow Jesus of their own accord.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing inherently wrong with infant baptism if you're looking at it as a symbol that you are brought into a family that loves Jesus.
Right, definitely. And basically, baptism is an outward sign of our inward change. So
at least that's the doctrine that we hold that I believe is biblical.
Right.
It's an outward sign of an inward change. That's that. Now, we're going to jump into another question here.
Boy, we've been doing these questions for the last couple of weeks, and it basically comes from an article basically saying these are 10 questions that you should ask your pastor. And it was in response to the 10 questions you should ask your science teacher. And so what's this guy's name that wrote this article? Basically came up with 10 questions and said these are questions that you need to ask your pastor, because they're the questions that that all the church, they dodge it.
Right.
They avoid it because, they don't have any real answers for these.
Right. His name's Adam Lee. He's from Chicago. He's an agnostic or an atheist.
And of course, because we don't have any answers for these, you and I are going to tackle it head on.
Anytime someone says Christians can't answer this question, we're
really?
Dude, let's do it.
Right. All right. So let's go ahead and jump into this this next question. And basically it says, if it was always God's plan to provide salvation through Jesus.
Which it was.
Yeah. Why didn't he send Jesus from the very beginning instead of confusing and misleading generations of people by setting up a religion called Judaism, which he knew in advance would prove to be inadequate?
Okay.
Well, that's a multi-leveled question.
This is a really good question,
uh-huh.
And I got three responses for it. First of all, there was no, quote, confusing and misleading people for generations, all right? That's just didn't happen. I'm going to get back to that.
Okay.
First of all, just take that out of the equation. It didn't happen. No one was misled. Second, this doesn't disprove God's existence. It doesn't disprove the reality of Jesus as a Messiah. He's just saying, why did God do it this way?
Right. This list of questions basically is here to disprove Christianity.
Well, you would, he's giving it as an atheist. You would think he would ask questions that would prove God's existence false.
Right.
But he's not. He's just saying, well, your God exists, but why do you do it like this?
Or basically he's saying, well, this is a ridiculous concept, so therefore it would never happen.
Right. It doesn't make sense that even if it is a stupid concept that God doesn't exist.
Right.
It just talks about what kind of God exists. Why did God do it this way?
Mm-hmm.
Now, third, the guy, really, he's asking us to read God's mind. Why did God do it this way? Well, I can't read God's mind.
Right.
I don't know why he chose to send Jesus when he did. I've got a few guesses. I've got some evidence that we're going to talk about, but I'm not a mind reader. Mm-hmm. Certainly not God's mind reader.
Right.
The most important question is, did Jesus rise from the dead? Because if he did, then this question's interesting. But it can't be a deal breaker for believing in Jesus.
Right.
I mean, whether or not you like when Jesus came doesn't change the fact that Jesus came and he fulfilled prophecy and he rose from the dead. So... I'm a fairly simple guy. If Jesus died and rose from the dead, I'm going to believe what he says.
Right.
And one of the guys that Jesus set up as a teacher was named Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Paul said this, Romans 5:6. At just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. So he says, look, it was just the right time, whatever that means.
Right.
Now, I have some guesses as to what that means. Less than 1% of the entire human population lived prior to Jesus.
You know, that's a really good point. And I've heard that said a lot, like over the last couple of years.
I think we've talked about it on our show before.
And that does, when you stop to think about that, really, that 99% of the population that's ever lived on earth has been here since Jesus.
Right. It's easy to say, well, what about those people before Jesus? Well, we'll talk about that, but you got to recognize 99% of people came after Jesus.
Right. Do the math, people. That
so
is the truth.
I find the fact that population started to explode right after Jesus, mm-hmm. plus roads and universal communications existed right after Jesus, that seems like it was just the right time to me.
It was just a coincidence, dude. Really.
There's actually books been written about how Jesus just, quote, happened to be born at the exact right time
right.
for the spread of a worldwide religion.
Wow.
You think that's a coincidence, or do you think that was a divine intervention?
Totally not a coincidence.
Now, I'd like to talk to this point of the religion of Judaism being, quote, confusing and misleading.
Right.
Now, he's saying, look, if the point was Jesus, why didn't God just get to it? Why did he make this religion that led up to Jesus? Mm-hmm. And it was just that you're just misleading people by telling them to do this. Well, it's not misleading at all. Colossians 2:17, this is in the Bible, it says, it's talking about sacrifices and the special Sabbaths they used to have in the Jewish religious
right.
system. And it says, these are a shadow of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ.
Amen.
So what it's saying is, there were shadows, there were hints, there were clues as to what's coming. Jesus came at the perfect time, just before humanity exploded in population, just mm-hmm. before Rose, just before universal communication. He came at the perfect time. But before then, God was giving them clues and shadows and ideas about what was going to come so
right.
they would know. The Israelites weren't misled. They weren't confused. They knew that sacrifices, they knew that the religious system wasn't the point. They knew it was to point towards the Messiah. Even in the Old Testament, before Jesus
right.
came, Psalms 51 says this, you do not delight in sacrifice. Now remember, their whole religious system was based on
right,
sacrifices.
Yeah.
You don't delight in sacrifice, or I'd bring it. You don't take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is to you is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you will not despise. You see, this guy understood it. He's like, these sacrifices we do, that's not what you really want.
Right.
You really want us to understand there's something bigger going on here. They got it. There was no misleading.
All right. Quick question real quick.
Okay.
You know, they say, okay, well, there's Judaism and there's Christianity. Well, you know, really, we are kind of an offshoot of Judaism. I mean, in a sense. So mm-hmm. basically, it's not like two different religions. It's just a changed arm of the religion.
Right. It's like we've changed the name, but in God's mind, religions didn't change.
Right.
It's been his plan all along. Now, let's imagine you join the Kansas City Comets.
Okay.
And
is that soccer?
Yeah, from a long time ago.
Okay.
And you're playing soccer, and they decide, you know what, we're going to change the team name to the Kansas City Bandits. You know, well, you're still on the team. The same players are still there. Mm-hmm. You're in the same arena. The same plans and plays are there. The same coach is there. You've changed the
right.
name. We changed the name from Judaism to Christianity, but this was God's plan all along.
Amen.
Now, I also, before the break, we're going to get to these other questions on the other side. But before the break, I just want to point out, we look back at the cross. They looked forward to the cross.
Right.
Like some non-believers who came before Jesus might actually ask the opposite question of our skeptic. They might go, well, why would God mislead people by sending a Savior to save everyone? But then after the Savior leaves, he keeps sending people to earth.
Right.
Like he would do the, he's saying the opposite of our skeptic.
Yeah.
What are people going to do after the Messiah?
Right.
You see, we're looking back. They looked forward. It's the same thing. It's not confusing. It's pretty simple. All right. TruthRevolution.tv. Go there. Check out the Truth Shots and our show. We'll be right back.
You're invited to Revolution Church this Sunday. Don't wear a suit and tie. Nobody else does. Just come as you are. Revolution Church has a special kids program planned, rocking music, and teaching that actually matters for real life. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Just music, teaching, and a program for the kids. 10:15 this Sunday morning. Check us out online, SalinaRevolution.com. www.SalinaRevolution.com.
Is there too much month at the end of your money?
We all need a plan for our money, and Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University, FPU, is that plan. It teaches God's way of handling money.
You've probably heard Dave's national radio program, and Revolution Church is going to be hosting his FPU classes.
Through video, discussions, and small groups, you'll learn the biblical and practical steps to get from where you are to where you've only dreamed you could be.
This plan will show you how to get rid of debt,
yeah,
manage your money, spend and save wisely, and much more.
I myself have saved tens of thousands of dollars because of this program.
Millions of people have already taken the class, so if you want to tell your money where to go, instead of letting your money boss you around,
contact Revolution Church and attend Financial Peace University.
www.SalinaRevolution.com.
That's www.SalinaRevolution.com.
Call 825-4488 or visit www.SalinaRevolution.com.
Or on Facebook.com/Revolution Church.
Truth Shots from TruthRevolution.tv and Revolution Church. Here's your host, Dave, and Pastor Jeff.
Every single person who hears this audio will face a difficult day.
Some of you lost a loved one, are facing personal problems or financial problems.
You are wondering where God is.
And if you aren't right now, you'll probably be at that point sometime.
Psalm 46 is an awesome chapter reminding us of who God is in times of trouble.
God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble, it says.
It continues, therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging.
Why don't we always feel like that? Why, when the waters roar and life gets crazy, do we feel like he's not near?
A little bit later, verse 10, we find a clue.
It says, be still and know that I am God.
This literally means be silent, be idle, almost be still and then know he is God.
Too often we cannot sense the presence of God when we need him because we don't take the time to rest quietly and meditate on the knowledge that he is God.
TruthRevolution.tv.
Did you know that Truth Revolution is supported by Revolution Church and listeners like you?
It takes quite a bit of time and money to produce a quality radio show.
If you find Truth Revolution helpful, a donation would be a powerful way to make sure the message keeps going out.
This ministry is doing more than Dave and I imagined it would at the beginning.
You got that right.
And as we grow, we want to keep the goal the same, to be the place where faith and reason meet.
Donations are accepted at www.truthrevolution.tv or Revolution Church.
Truth Revolution.
We are back.
That's right.
We're on the other side of the break now.
Where faith and reason meet. We've already answered two questions today. Right. We're going to try to hit two more plus a Bible contradiction.
Right. Before we get there,
yes,
let's talk about Financial Peace University.
That's right. You might have heard the commercial break about Financial Peace University. Dave Ramsey, who is on a lot of your radio stations every single day or every single week, is teaching a class called Financial Peace University. We're getting the video series at Revolution Church. Mm-hmm. If you want to take part in this, you got to contact us. It's going to start really soon, in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Right.
The first session's free. They charge us like $100 a person, $97 per person. So that's what the cost is going to be. Mm-hmm. We're not charging for that. But you'll have to pay Financial Peace University for that. But it is so worth it. My wife and I did this class a few years ago. Cost us $100. We have since then saved tens of thousands.
Right.
And I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, if you're sitting around wringing your hands, wondering how you're going to make it through financial difficulties and stuff like that, this is a great program for you.
Too much month at the end of the money.
Right. A lot of people experience that.
So contact us, Revolution Church, if you're interested in taking the Financial Peace University class. Okay, now, on to the next question. This is the seventh question out of the 10. We are almost done with his list.
Right.
We're probably going to finish next week. But this particular question, I actually had a talk with a pastor friend of mine and go,
yeah?
How would you answer this? Let's talk about this.
Okay, check it out. Here's the question. Since the Bible states that God does not desire that anyone perish, but also states that the majority of humankind is going to hell, doesn't this show that God's plan of salvation is a
failure, even by his own standard? And if the outcome is a success, what would count as a failure? So basically he's saying this whole thing is a failure, but if it's not, what would be?
Right. I want to read 2 Peter 3:9 to show that this guy's right. He is patient with you. God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So the guy's right.
Right.
That, yeah, God doesn't desire that anyone perish or go to hell. And it's true that the path to hell is wide and the path to heaven's narrow. It is a failure. But the failure is not God's.
Oh, scared me for a second.
There's an important distinction here. I mean, this guy who asked the question is right. It's a failure, but it is not God's failure. We have failed as humans to respond to God properly.
Amen.
I might make the analogy. If a coach of a team, the coach definitely has a role to play in a team.
Right.
Right. Now, he could be a perfect coach. Just imagine with me for a minute, a perfect coach. He is flawless and absolutely ideal in every area. He offers the best training. He always gives perfect advice. He has the best coaches under him. He has the best equipment, the best field, the best everything. He is the perfect coach in every respect, never makes an error.
Right.
Yet the team doesn't show up to practice. Right. Then they lose and they blame the coach.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Is there a failure there? Well, yeah, there's a failure, but it has nothing to do with the coach.
That's the personnel department right there.
Likewise, God has given us everything we need for salvation. He's given us perfect prophecy, a perfect Messiah, a book with his words in it, a moral conscience, all sorts of things. Yet we have a choice to ignore all that. And if we choose to ignore it, it's a failure, but it's not God's failure.
Mm-hmm. So what it all comes down to is it's a matter of choice. It's our choice.
It is our choice. And, you know, it's not that God had a plan. And he was like, man, okay, I got to get everyone saved. And, oh, no, some people aren't saved. And, oh, no, I'm failing. Right. I'm not good enough. No, God is perfect. God did everything perfect. His plan was to be perfect, and he is perfect. We're the ones not showing up to practice. Mm-hmm. We're the ones losing the game on purpose, willingly. And exactly. So, you know, there is a failure there, but it's not God's failure. Right. It's our failure.
And wasn't it C.S. Lewis or somebody else that said basically that... maybe it was A.W. Tozer, that basically maybe sending people to hell is, in a sense, God showing love to those people.
A.W. Tozer did say, I believe, that since God is love, when we get to heaven, we'll understand how God sending people to hell is an act of love.
Right, because I don't think God wants to drag people kicking and screaming into heaven if they don't want to be in his presence.
Well, that's right. If you don't want to be around God right now, God's not going to drag you into his presence for all eternity.
Right. You make your choice, and, you know...
You got to deal with it.
You got to deal with it.
All right, we're going to do a Bible contradiction.
Okay.
Bible contradiction.
All right, this is another one of those. Comes from 1001BibleContradictions.com.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now, by the way, the reason we get Bible contradictions... from websites of atheists is because we don't want anyone to think we're stacking the deck here.
Oh, definitely. I do. I have several different websites that I go out and look at and try and pick decent, you know, contradictions. I mean, you know, when it,
decent contradictions.
Because when it comes down to it, I mean, have we been stumped yet?
No.
Not yet.
But I just want people to know, we're not making these up. These are legitimate things that people said, look, the Bible contradicts itself right here.
And that's one of the reasons why we give the websites that we get these off of.
Right, you so know, you can so, see it with
so
your own eyeballs.
So you can see it for yourself. So, all right, check it out. The Bible says everyone dies. Well, wait a minute. He says not everyone will die. What is it? Okay, Ecclesiastes 3:20 says, all go unto one place. All are of the dust, and all shall turn to dust again. Hebrews 9:27 has been appointed to men once to die, but after this, the judgment.
Okay, so we're going to die.
All right, however, John 8:51 says, very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. That's Jesus talking.
Oh, no death.
Okay. Yeah, no death. 2 Timothy 1:10, it says, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality delight through the gospel.
Okay.
So what is it, man? Everyone dies or not everyone will die?
All right. There are, I have four different answers to this question.
Great. Is this like a pick one or are you going to give us all of them?
I'm going to give you all of them. I'm going to go really quickly though.
Okay.
So we can get to our last, is it just one more question that we have? Just one more question?
We have a question from a listener.
All right, good. Okay. First of all, and this is just a shallow one. Mm-hmm. It's not real, but if you want to be shallow, John and Timothy, the two books he quoted later, use one Greek word for death, while Hebrews uses a different word for death.
Okay.
So the people who say that you're going to die use a different word than the people who say you won't die. It's a different word for death. Well, there's different Greek words for death. Like I could say pass away or be murdered.
right?
Okay. And I could say you aren't going to be murdered. You will pass away. Oh, but that's not a contradiction.
Right.
So that's a surface explanation.
Okay.
I don't think that's a good explanation, though. Okay. So that's why I'm going to give you three more.
All right. Do it.
The main one is this. One is talking spiritual and one is talking physical. Everybody dies a physical death. That is part of the curse. That is reality. That is how things work on this world. We know that. That's what Ecclesiastes, that's what Hebrews is pointing out. However, not everybody has to experience a spiritual death. And that is what Jesus is talking about. If you obey Jesus' word, if you believe in Jesus, you don't have to have spiritual death.
Amen.
Period. That's it. And that spiritual death is being cast into hell. That's what it is. Whenever you look through the Bible, Jesus even talks, he uses the phrase in other top places called second death. So there's two different types of death being talked about here.
Right.
A third answer here is eternal versus temporary. There is a temporary death. There is also an eternal death. We will all experience a temporary death of some kind.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies will expire. But not everybody will experience an eternal death, which is actual death.
Right.
That is the big, big, big difference. I mean, we're going to all go back to dust, but that's not legitimate death in the grand scheme of things.
Right.
We are all going to, you know, kind of go to dust and experience a time where we're waiting for God to judge the world. But then some people are going to have a real, genuine death as they go to hell.
Right.
And the rest of us are going to have life.
Now, wouldn't that be like an eternal death? I mean,
that's what we call it. Eternal death is in hell. It lasts forever.
Okay.
And you're in hell, and we call it a death.
Right.
Then the last one is this. Resurrection, which will happen to Christians, you will be reunited with your body, and you will go to life forever in heaven or the new earth, nulls physical death.
Right.
So although you experience physical death, your resurrection overcomes that physical death.
Made it nullified.
And nullifies it. And so Jesus, although he died, he has not been defeated by death.
Right.
He is not dead, even though he died. And so even though we will die, we will not be dead.
Right.
Because we will be resurrected.
Right. 2 Timothy 1:10 says it right there. Jesus Christ himself destroyed death.
Exactly. And so you know, that's four answers for our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
How often is that going to happen when you get four for the price of one?
I know. I should have just done one and gone a little deeper, but I think everybody got it.
Right. I think we got the point, Jeff.
All right. Question from a listener.
All right. Here we go. I had a question about one of the recent truth shots. You talked about how God allows natural evil to exist to preserve free will.
Right.
Wouldn't this apply to all actions of God and not just nature? It seems this would suggest that God would not have a hand in anything, as it would somehow change free will. I figured I would ask because the view that there could be a God, but that God doesn't affect people on a daily basis is a common agnostic view.
This is an awesome question.
It is a really good question.
Basically, what he's saying is, look, if you're suggesting that God allows tornadoes or hurricanes or things like that to happen, and he doesn't always jump in because he doesn't want to allow...
Right. He doesn't want to change history. Or he doesn't want to... What is it that was in Star Trek? The Prime Directive.
I don't know. We're not using that.
Sorry.
We said...
Yes, I am a geek.
We said God stopping the world for every bad decision a person makes...
Uh-huh.
Would be crazy world.
Amen.
It's not real. So you can go back and listen to our shows about that. And he said, well, okay, so if we're saying God's not going to stop every bad thing from happening, aren't you also saying that free will doesn't really exist? Now, not that free will doesn't really exist, but that God, that free will is so true that God never interacts. That's what he's saying. So God never interacts then? Isn't that what you're really saying? Now, I believe in affirming the free will of humanity.
Amen.
That's very, very important. If you want to get the answer to this question, you're going to have to go online.
I knew this was going to happen.
Sorry.
That's all right. Over time.
So truthrevolution.tv. Truthrevolution.tv. We're going to answer this question. I'll explain it more clearly than I did when my brain was muddled in the last 20 seconds.
There you go.
Trying to answer in 30 seconds. I'm giving up on that. Does God interact or not? Does he really overcome our free will? Does he interact in the world, or does he just let things happen?
Right.
We're going to talk about that. To Adam and Eve, do they have free will?
Right.
TruthRevolution.tv, you can listen to Truth Shots.
Right, and be sure to come out to Revolution Church.
That's right, every Sunday morning at 10:15. Visit us online. We'll see you after the break.
Truth Revolution.
See you after the break.
Huh? That's right now. That was the break.
Okay.
For some people, it was a long break.
And some people, it was a short break. I mean, if you've been listening to the entire show online, that was a very short break.
Okay, so anyway.
No commercials.
As I was slurring over my brain there and stuttering.
I gotta stand up for you here.
What?
Okay, you know, Jeff actually runs the board and all the sound effects and stuff like that. And so he's over here trying to answer the question. Me, I'm just kind of a hanger-on.
Whatever.
But he's over here trying to do all this stuff while trying to answer this question. So you got to forgive him for being a little bit distracted. So
I know what I'm doing.
Kind of.
All right. So does God preserve free will or not? This guy says, it seems that this would suggest that God not interacting, not stopping tornadoes, mm-hmm. all that. It seems that would suggest that God didn't have a hand in anything, as it would somehow change free will.
Right. Basically, what he is saying that God is just a kind of like an absent God.
We would call it a deistic
mm-hmm.
God.
Right.
Yeah. He started the world, he set things up, and then he kind of stepped back
right.
and lets things happen. And it's a common agnostic view. They say, well, I don't know if there's a God, but if there is, he's probably just chilling, watching.
Right.
Now, I would say I believe in affirming free will. That's humanity's free will is a very important concept. You have a choice about how you're going to respond to God. However, I definitely think that God interacts regularly. But this doesn't always constitute interference with our free will.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because he often interacts when we ask him to.
Amen. I was just actually going to say that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it takes action on our part to get action from God.
That's right. He says, you have not because you ask not. That's a good example.
Mm-hmm.
So, did Adam and Eve have free will? Well, yeah. Now, did God know what was going to happen? Yeah. But perfect knowledge of an event is not causal knowledge.
Right.
Just because you know what happened doesn't mean you caused it to happen. Think back to what you had for lunch yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Dave, what'd you have for lunch yesterday?
I had a sandwich.
Do you remember what kind of sandwich?
Yes, I do. Because I have the same sandwich every day. It's American cheese on wheat toast. With ham and it's sliced ham and sliced turkey.
Oh my goodness.
Every single day with mustard and with mayo.
Pickles?
Nope.
Why do you have that every day?
Because we buy in bulk and that's what we do for.
Oh my goodness. That was way too much information.
My boss comes by the desk and throws a piece of bread on my desk and says, there you go, get back to work.
That's hilarious. Does he whip you then too?
I'm kidding. No.
All right. So does the fact that Dave knows that perfectly, he knows how it tasted, how it smelled, he knows every ingredient, he knows exactly how his boss threw it at him, does the fact that Dave knows that perfectly have any influence over the fact that he was free to choose it?
Absolutely not.
No. You were totally free to choose it. You know exactly what happened yesterday.
Right.
But you still were free to choose it, but you know it, and it's never going to change.
Right. And I even had people ask me, hey, I'm going to McDonald's. You want something? I said no.
No, you made the choice.
I made the choice.
And even though you now know it for real and it never will change, it was still a free choice.
Right.
Likewise, God knows everything, but not in a causal sense. He is outside of time, and so he sees things like we see history.
Right.
He sees what will happen as though we see what Dave ate for lunch yesterday. And therefore, God has knowledge without causal knowledge, without causing events to happen. Scientists demonstrate that when time came into existence, so did matter.
Right. Because they say you can't have one without the other.
Right. And so the fact that matter and time exist together is really cool. God not only created matter, he created the existence of time.
Right.
And it's sitting there and he can see all of time at one place.
Right. And that's why science uses the term time-space.
Yeah. Time-space continuum. So, good. All right. So anyway, that's the answer for that question. I want to thank you guys for listening in to the online portion as I muddled through the end of our show there.
Thanks for hanging out with us during overtime.
If you'd like to donate to the show, we would really appreciate it. It takes a lot of work, takes some finances, takes some elbow grease to get in there and get things done.
Right. All you got to do is go to the website and you're already here.
That's right. So consider donating. Look on the side of the website there to donate to Truth Revolution, or you can send a check to Revolution Church.
Or you can come on in and just hand it to Jeff himself. We've had people do that before.
That's so right. Hey, also, I'm going to throw this at Dave, but we're looking maybe for some volunteers. We could use some people who would be interested in helping promote, helping work on the website, helping get some things done around here.
Like a street team.
Yeah, there's plenty of work to go around. So if you're interested in helping Truth Revolution reach the world and teach people about God, answer questions, let us know. There's all sorts of things from radio promo to website work. So hit us up, truthrevolution.tv, and we will see you next week or tomorrow for a Truth Shot.